Welcome to Technory Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, well, you've probably heard this bit before. What is Technory? Since 2010, Technory has been Chicago's top startup showcase. More than 300 companies have been featured, been on stage, been on the show, and they've gone on to raise a whopping $260-plus million in venture funding. Joining us next on Technory Live, Sterling Douglas, co-founder of Chowly. Sterling has been on the show before with another startup project, so you're back at it again.
Sure.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So why don't we jump right into it? What is Chowly?
Sure. So basically what Chowly does is if you're a restaurant and you want to accept orders from companies like Grubhub and Eat24 and Uber Eats, they send you a tablet, and then you receive the orders on the tablet, and then someone at the restaurant has to manually type in all of that information into their point-of-sale system. So basically what Chowly does is we take all the orders from all those different tablets, and we integrate them directly into the point-of-sale system, so there's no manual entry from the staff of the restaurant. So that means less errors, that means less staffing costs, and that means more revenue for restaurants.
So as this is going to be like a heavily centered on entrepreneur show, this segment right now.
Sure.
Not just because it's a startup, but it's just your story is unique, and it's unique to a normal person. It's not unique to the founders.
Right.
Was it Nix-A-Line?
Yeah, it was Nix. Yeah, that was the first company.
So the first company was Nix-A-Line or Nix. And essentially, if I remember correctly, the gist of that was you get ahead of the line, you could basically get your drinks and tabs and things like that all taken care of. I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb here.
Sure.
And assume that during your process, which anyone who's in the restaurant tech world knows, like, that is a, I don't know how many investors have heard the pitch on essentially the Nix 1, Nix 2.0, Nix, we had Talion, we've got a bunch of them that are trying to solve this problem. I suspect you found that there might not be enough of a problem there or enough of a market for it, or just to like rally everybody together as a challenge, and you found a different thing that you could solve.
Yeah, so I think a couple of things. So number one, it's hard to sell the bars, you know, just as it is.
They're good at selling booze, but they're not good at buying anything.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really difficult. But I mean, basically at the end of the day, after about 6 months of being really, you know, I really dove in, put full time into it, we didn't have that product market validation that we wanted. And one of the things that we kept running into when we were trying to sell to them was we wanted to put an iPad on the bar, and that's how they received their orders. And then towards the end, we figured out that was a big roadblock, so we needed to integrate into the point-of-sale system.
So one question I've got for you is you mentioned the iPad part. The hardware thing, and it's not just, I mean, it seems, well, I don't want to say server industry, but the handful of startup companies that I've worked with that were outside of here, so not just in the restaurant, but actually like golf courses and things like that, Caddy Tap comes to mind. Mm-hmm. The challenge we always had was, we've gotten past the user case. It's pretty obvious. Could be used. Would it make things more handy? Absolutely. Does it solve a problem? Yes, it does. Is the problem big enough? In some cases, marginally so. In some cases, not. The problem that you have is the hardware, ultimately. The problem that they always ended up having was, I've got to figure out a way internally to finance paying for this hardware on my end and supplying hardware that we then put our software on and then we give them to you. Yep. And then we refurbish them and you've got to keep the battery charged. And there's all kinds of stupid things that you would not think would be a problem that once you put in the hands of a human being become a serious problem.
Yeah.
How did you go from you? Because when I talked to you, you were all in.
Oh yeah.
How did you go from I am all in to I'm really all out now. And it's probably, oh my God. And then I'm into something. Oh my God, I found there's another way to do this. We've got another company and I'm all in.
Yeah. How did you... I mean, some of that is just the entrepreneurial spirit, right? You know, once you get into an idea, you obsess over it. It's the only thing that you think of. You eat, sleep, and dream it. And we had goals that we set at Nix. And then when we didn't hit those goals, you know, it was pretty obvious that, you know, something was wrong. It was the product market validation. It was our sales model. Something about it, you know, was an issue. But during that process, you know, I met my co-founder, Brian Duncan, who actually came up with the idea for Chowly. I met him through that process, and we discovered that this was a problem because of that process.
Yep.
So for me, it was, all right, we didn't hit the numbers that we were going to hit, but we did identify another problem. All right, now that we have that other problem, let's figure out how to solve it.
So that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you back on. Obviously, I wanted to know more about Chowly, but and I mean, it's like this is a great example for founders out there that, like, there are certain people, and I've said this before, there are real entrepreneurs that are born and they learn how to, like, hone their craft. And then there's people who are sort of, as Cuban always says, wantrepreneurs.
Yep.
They're like, it's just cool. There's something going on. Maybe you don't want to work. I don't know what the deal is, but you're like hanging out down here. And I stumble every once in a while, one of them will sneak in through the doorway and they end up on the show. And you're like, how in the hell, who scheduled this asshole?
don't you do all the scheduling, Scott?
Yeah, I do, but I'm trying to put it off on somebody else. And then you get people like you walking like, I can just tell. Example, obviously, he doesn't need any other companies probably, but Adam, who's here from Avant,
yeah,
is a perfect example of somebody like, it wouldn't matter if he was doing this or another one or another one. He will always do it. Another guest that's going to be coming on here, Stu, is from Infinisene. He also is one of those kind of entrepreneurs. When you meet him, it's like, it wouldn't matter if this is the deal or if it's another thing or another thing. You were one of those people when I met, he was like, I'm not sure I think Nick's is going to work, but I know that I'm going to see you again because you're one of those people who you just tell, like, you're coming up with ideas. And what I think is valuable and I want you to speak to is when that moment, and there's a bit of a sink. I've had it too. There's a bit of a sink in the heart. We're like, oh, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
How did you take that, harness it, and not like get too discouraged and go get a job or run off? Like, how did you transition?
I would say, you know, there was a specific moment that I remember, and I was laying down on, you know, my bedroom floor, and I called
There was a bed in there, right?
There was an air mattress, but, you know.
Real entrepreneur.
yeah, I mean, I went 13 months without a paycheck after I left my first job to start my first company and before Charlie was able to pay me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went through that whole grind, and I do remember one specific moment when, you know, and I was talking to my brother, and, you know, I was pretty down, and, you know, it was kind of a deep hurt, but at the end, I think that just motivated me even more. That really, I had the itch even more that I wanted to succeed, knowing that, you know, I'd given it a shot and it hadn't worked out.
Yep.
So if anything, you know, very quickly turn that around and be like, all right, what's next? What are we going to do? And I need to give it even more than I gave it last time.
So having experienced the heartbreak, what do you think that you see in Chowley that makes you think it's got a better shot at it?
Mm-hmm.
And not just because it's your company, but like, what is it about that company that it possesses as an opportunity that you thought Nick's doesn't in retrospect?
Yeah. I mean, I think the number one thing, I learned more in the 6 months that I was full time at Nick's, than I did in my entire college career. And I was an actuary. I took tons of exams, but the amount of information and the amount of soft skills and different rules of thumb, how to build companies that I learned was just almost immeasurable. And I think what that did is when, you know, I started building Chowley, there were a couple things I knew we needed to get right. Number one is we needed rapid development. We needed someone on the team who was a co-founder who could build something, build it quickly and iterate quickly,
yep,
quickly react to, you know, customer feedback. And Justin McNally, our CTO, and the, you know, the other co-founder, we had a paying client in market in less than 30 days from when we formed. And that was really important. So that was one of the bigger differences. As on Nick's, we didn't really have a dedicated, you know, my co-founder at the time, I mean, self-taught himself,
yeah,
and really hustled his way and got an app in market, which was amazing. But having someone who, you know, had the proper degree, he ran another company. He was a partner at another company, and all they did was build software for, yeah, startups. So that was a big one. And then also having Brian Duncan as the other co-founder to do our sales and marketing. He'd been selling to bars and restaurants for 10 or 12 years.
So he had the contact list already to be able to get in there.
He had worked in the industry. He knew the industry. He knew the problem. And he knew how to talk to these guys. He knew how to get a hold of them. And, you know, we were hustling at the beginning. I mean, we were knocking on doors. We were showing up. We were cold calling like madmen. So, I mean, there's just kind of a different sense of urgency and kind of getting the right skill sets aligned. And I think that was kind of the biggest thing to get us off the ground. The reason that I know, you know, Chowley's in, you know, we're in a really good place. You know, we're up to 12 employees as of today. We're growing a ton. People keep paying for it.
Yeah. Well, that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
Come
right
back for more.
People keep paying for it, and we never lose clients. When we get in there.
And in the service industry, that's like a big deal because they go try one thing and they're out in a month all the time.
Our churn is unbelievable in the restaurant industry. It's basically 0%. And you know, we're across 30 different states. We do tons of remote installs. We're bringing in all sorts of different point of sale integrations, and just seeing how sticky it is. And we had a couple of restaurants that we literally saved. A guy gave me a call one day, and he was really out of breath, and he was like, "If your stuff ever goes down, like please let me know, because we did so many orders last night after we started with you guys." And basically, they couldn't start Uber Eats in their restaurant because they couldn't handle the data entry. And then so once we got in there, he's like, all right, now we're going to give Uber Eats a try. They ended up doing 220 orders in the first 5 hours that they were live on Uber Eats. And this was on like a Thursday. So, you know, a couple months later, he said that we were 2 months away from closing. And if it weren't for you guys, you know, enabling us to bring on, you know, these other third parties, we would have gone under. And when I hear stories like that, I'm like, wow, we're like
rescuing
really helping
cats,
restaurants.
Saving businesses. This guy's an animal. No, it's a testament. And like I said to you before, I see a lot of entrepreneurs. I've talked to well over 300 at this point. And I could just tell when certain people come in, you can just tell it's, and even if this does, like, I think this is going to be a success, but even if it's like just a minor success and you end up taking it into the next thing, I have a feeling you'll be back on again wearing some other crazy t-shirt. At some point you're going to found a company that has something to do with ski resorts, I hope. Cause
that would be the dream.
What are you like? I don't know why you keep playing around with these restaurant gigs when you want to be out on the slopes anyway.
Yeah, that's true. There's a special place in my heart for, you know, some of the big mountains out west.
See, I remember people I interviewed. You were one of the ones that stood out because I remember the slopes and the actuary. I didn't want to pick on you again about the actuary thing. Cause it's just,
good.
It was you threw that on me the first one.
That's been great for Chally, though, because we do so much data mapping.
Oh, everyone should be one now. I mean, that's the future of like all businesses.
Yeah, just be an actuary for a couple of years, learn everything, and then just start your own company.
Just don't tell girls that that's your thing, you know.
I don't know.
Or do, no, because smart is sexy now.
That's true. It wasn't Howard Tolman just was on something.
He said something, I'm sure. I'm stealing Howard Tolman stuff. I steal his stuff all the time. It's fine. He's going to come on one of these shows soon, and we'll talk more about it. But how do companies get in touch with Chally? What is like the perfect company for a perfect restaurant for Chally?
I mean, almost any restaurant that's accepting deliveries through third parties or wants to accept orders through third parties. So there are restaurants that won't, you know, get on DoorDash. They won't get on Grubhub because they're not integrated. And so because of that, you know, we can allow them and kind of enable them to do that. I mean, our ideal restaurant is a restaurant in some urban area that has access to third parties. Any of those third party delivery firms, you know, we're happy to integrate them. We can rapidly build those integrations too if we need to. And those companies could also even build to us. In terms of getting in touch with us, our website's the best place to do that. That's chowlyinc.com, chowlyinc.com. A quick Google of Chally, and I think, you know, me and a couple of the other co-founders, Pretty Faces, show up. That's the easiest way to get in contact with us.
Very cool. Thank you so much for coming back on.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
Of course. Take care. You can stream this episode and more on technori.com, and you can stay up to date with our Technori news feed and other tech bites by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori, or follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.